And this is the direction this sermon's going today, is God leaves some things to be searched out. I like that. It's so important to have the Word of God delegate and designate our life. But sometimes people let the Word of use the Word of God to keep them from searching out God, the deeper things of God. The Word of God will judge everything that goes on inside this church and outside the church, and from the leadership down to the youngest saint of God. So I just wanted to say that before I read the text today. And this is going to be, I'm reading from Zechariah 10, verse 1, and Psalm 2, verse 8. So Lord, I just pray, as I do through the week, Lord, but every Sunday, Lord, for your anointing, God, for your unction, for your Spirit to move in me, through me, in us, through us, to us. Lord, we need your help. Lord, I need your help. God, let our hearts be enlarged to receive. Let this challenge today, God, just so stir us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Zechariah 10:1, ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone, grass in the field. And then Psalm 2:8, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. I like these kind of verses because these are verses that challenge us, keep us from just getting status quo, easy flowing Christianity, but challenge us to do something with our faith. And that's the reason I wanted to reaffirm what I believe, because this sermon, what I'm going to preach, is another one of those sermons that calls this church body to a higher, deeper relationship with God. And it seems like sometimes when I preach sermons like this, people, there could be some that think I'm like downplaying the Word of God or anything. So I try to come up with an analogy. This is the best I could do since it's so fresh on my mind. I was just on a step ladder and a ladder yesterday. But you could look at a good, solid, strong step ladder, like the Word, as the Word of God. And you stand on it, and it elevates you, takes you up towards God, and you're on it, and when you're on it, you're above the world, not in pride, but you're disconnected from the world in a sense. You're up on this ladder, and up on the shelf there's a box of God's promises, and up on the shelf there's a box of God's will for your life. Up on the shelf, there's a box of revelation and God's vision for you. And these things don't come to you through your normal reading of the Word of God. Of course, when I do read the Word of God, these things are brought to mind and to focus. But if you want those things, you take that stepladder, I'm after that box of promise, you set it up and you climb up and you reach up and you grab it. Okay, now when you're going up there and you're reaching for that and you start talking about it, someone will say, well, don't forget about the Word of God. And I'll say, listen, I'm on it. I cannot reach that without the Word of God. This is my platform. The truth is where I'll always stand. The truth is what I'm on. But I just want to reach for more of God. Is that okay? Amen. He's got something for me. And I'm compelling myself, I'm disciplining myself, I'm praying, I'm all of these things, I'm reaching for the things of God, and I do it on my ladder of truth. Praise God. So here's the challenge of all for all the saints of God today, and maybe it's a good way to finish out the year, and didn't really think about the idea that this is the last sermon of the year, but I've preached a lot of sermons, I think, this year, maybe more than normal, on going after the deeper things of God, the higher call of God. And actually, those are my favorite kind of sermons to preach. I never ever, I don't think I do convey that I've arrived, that I'm there, that you also see I'm in the pursuit of the same God that you are. I'm in pursuit of the same blessings and promises and revelations that you are. Some of us are farther ahead because we've been Christians longer and we've been seeking the Lord longer. But there's always more to go after. There's always a deeper walk. So maybe it's a good way to kind of finish up this year. I'm not saying I won't preach any more of these kind of sermons next year. But anyway, it's a good way to finish up the year. But I want to challenge the saints of God to ask God and believe God for things like his promises that he has for us. There's general promises, but then there's personal promises he's made. I don't know if there's anybody in here, but thinking about Kenny and how he wants to have a wife, I know there's Christians that the Lord showed them, promised them they're going to get a husband or a wife. And sometimes he's even given them directions where they would find this one or when this particular one's going to come in their life. And certainly they believed God for it, and it happened just as God said. Well, you're not going to read that in the Word of God. But again, I'm on my stepladder. we're on the stepladder, getting the promises of God. And he has promises he speaks to. He has promised general promises in the Bible that he wants to fulfill in your life. And somebody will say, what if you die before it's fulfilled? Well, it'll be fulfilled when I die then. I'll come into the complete fulfillment of it. Also, to step on that ladder and reach up for the reaping of what you have sown in your life. Trusting God for the fruit from the good seed you have sown. Of course, we reap the bad seed, the bad things we've done. But let's just believe that we're reaping good seed. We're sowing to the kingdom of God. When you give the missions, you're sowing to the kingdom. When you tithe, you're sowing to the kingdom of God. Of course, you hear that on the radio stations and TBN. Always got to send them your seed money all at a time. But the principle is true. If you give, and you give with your heart, whatever it is, your life, your finances, your friendliness, whatever, anything you can think of, when you sow that, after some time, it comes back to you in the blessings of God. And I know we don't give for that reason. And in fact, if you don't give for that reason, all the more they do come back. You will reap what you sow. Amen? Praise God. I've seen a lot of people really have a hard, when they get saved, have a hard time tithing. And those same people did it anyway, and you can talk to them, and they'll say, we've reaped from being faithful to God. We've gotten along a lot better than we thought we would. Amen? Then I'm challenging the body to trust God for the visions he has given you. You know, I was kind of doing an intensive study on this the other day on the word vision. And I found it to be probably a good majority of the time when you search it in the Hebrew and the Greek, the different words that vision is translated from. Most often, it's defined as something that is either literally seen or it's a scene like a dream in your mind. But Peter quoted Joel saying that in the last days, young men will see visions. So there will be Christians today, and I'm sure it's not just young men, but I'm sure old men can too, and I believe women can. Sisters in Christ can have visions from God. But that's not the kind of vision, when I talk about vision that I'm talking about, and maybe a better word to use is the word revelation. And I think most of us that have been saved for a longer season can say that, many of us can say, I don't know if I've ever literally, I can't remember, I had that one vision just this year, but I've never seen a vision in my mind before this last year, where I actually saw a scene unfold before me. But the vision that I always talk about, and it is so often talked about, is a revelation that God gives to you. And he burns something in your heart. And then when you start believing him for that, that becomes vision. So what I'm challenging the church is through whatever vision or revelation the Lord has given, he's given that to you for a reason. And he's trusted you, just like parents get, you know, our children are not our own. They belong to the Lord. He's given them to us to raise them in the admonition of the Lord. Well, same thing with vision and revelation. He's given that to you for a reason. Not just say, oh, the Lord's so good to me, and he gave me this, and you just go on. But to believe him for the outcome of it, to believe him, to see it fulfilled, maybe not always in the way we think, but to see it, you know, and I think of maybe a very short-term vision I had is when I made an offer to Changing Lives Assembly of God to come over, take our little church and go over by them, and the elders actually entertained the whole thought about at least listening to me, and so I took Jack with me and Nick, I think. Was anybody else with us? Just you two guys, huh? We had a little secret meeting at the Macarewitz's. Someday that little house is going to be in history. This is where the secret meeting was. No. But as time went on, and it just wasn't much going on, you know, John was there and Tyler, and time went on, but there was such a point in my life, I was like, it wasn't me, it was the Lord. And Joy even asked me one day, you really think this is going to happen? And I says, I do. I was just convinced it was going to happen. And it happened not the way I thought, but the results of what God wanted to do happened. He wanted to bring out that remnant. Where we met is immaterial, but he brought out the remnant to come together. This is a little example of something the Lord's burned in my heart that I believed him for that was fulfilled. There's things I've been believing God for a long time that I'm still believing him for. And I want to challenge you. Those things that maybe you're even reminded of something from years ago that the Lord, you believe the Lord has put in your heart and you kind of got weary of it or kind of forgot about it. Let God rebirth that in you today. Believe God for it. We are to be on the move, the church. We're supposed to be aggressive. We're supposed to be on the offense. He's given us plenty of defensive weapons to hold off the enemy while we're going forward. The shield was never given to us to run. And, you know, otherwise you'd get an arrow stuck in your back. It's to go forward and it's to face the enemy. Amen. Praise God. But, you know, some, maybe even many genuine Christians will accept and believe the word of God, which again is a must. Got to stand on that ladder. But they are not so willing to open their ear to the Lord to hear from him in that which specifically pertains to their life. Some would never dare to believe God for anything that would seem risky. That's amazing how many things we'll do in the world, in the carnal, that are very risky. Starting businesses can be pretty risky. Making an investment can be pretty risky. Buying a house can be risky when you're a young believer. It's like, what if I lose my job? You know, all of these things. Well, we need to be a little risky in the Lord, especially if we believe he's in it, not especially. But some would allow pride to keep them from believing God for something he may have shown or promised them, because if it doesn't happen, then I'm going to be embarrassed. I'm going to look like a fool. But, you know, someone can be solid in the word of God, which, again, is a great thing, but so fearful of trusting God to do anything for them that the Bible speaks of. He really wants us to believe his word to such a point that we're on the move, that we're aggressive with the word of God. One of the reasons the Bible is given to us is to encourage us to seek God. It's given to us to encourage us to believe God. All those stories you read of victories and all those stories you read that encourage you, that's for real. That's given to us to live that life and have that same confidence in the Lord that they had. Look at Moses. Look at how foolish he would have felt if he would have went before Pharaoh with that staff that like that, like, take this, Pharaoh. It's like, oh,
Aaron, want to pick up the rod? It's not doing what I thought it was going to do. It was supposed to turn into a snake. And then he just tuck his tail under his leg and head out the door and forget that he even had audience with the Pharaoh. Or how about foolish? Joshua, how foolish he would have felt to say, hey, we're going to march around these walls every day. And on the last day, I want you all to shout. And when you do, these walls are going to come down. And so the day finally, and the moment arises, okay, shout. And they all shout. And like, uh-oh, the walls are still up. You would feel awful foolish. That'd be awful embarrassing. But you know what? It didn't stop him from saying, let's do it. Come on, God said it. Let's shout. These walls are going to go down. Or David facing Goliath. He says to Goliath, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts this day, not tomorrow. I shared that with you not too long ago. I'm always like believing God for tomorrow. But I need to believe God for this day. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee. That's pretty bold, little bugger. And take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air. He's not just saying, I'm going to give your carcass. I'm giving the host Israel, the Philistine army, I'm giving them to the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. So he just didn't put his neck on the line. He put the God of Israel's neck on the line. Imagine how foolish David would have felt going there with his sling, and he whips one at Goliath and goes, oop. And then he flips another one. He's like, ooh, you. And he just get him more mad. But he trusted the Lord. Didn't know how it was all going to work, but I'm going to start off with slinging a stone at him and see what happens. And down he went. Praise God. Or Elijah mocking the prophets of Baal, the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Ashtaroth, and saying, oh, maybe your God is sleeping. You know, and he's mocking them and making fun of them. And then finally, at the end of the day, he makes his altar, and he has water brought in, not just once, but three different times. They dump these buckets of water. I forget how many gallons it was on this altar. And then he prayed about 30 words unto the Lord, and fire came down from heaven. Imagine how he would have felt if he would have called on the Lord. This is in his heart, and he did it, and nothing happened. He would, again, just tucked his tail under his leg. Never mind. Just walked off into the sunset. But he believed God. Where'd that come from? Did he read that he was going to do that? No, it was something the Lord put in him, something the Lord burned in him, something he believed that God would do. And these are all men who believe God for what he spoke or even put in their heart. And I noticed some people, those are Old Testament stories. But you know, there was a guy named Simeon. In the New Testament, it was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death until he saw the Lord's Christ. The Holy Spirit showed that to him. Praise God. And I'm telling you this because the Holy Spirit wants to show you things. Amen? Paul, one day, he's trying to preach to the deputy, and Bar-Jesus, or I guess his name is Elymas, was trying to confound Paul. And Paul says, you're going to be blind for a season. And boom, he was blind for a season. Where does that come from? It's from that inner witness of the Spirit to take care of this situation by the leading of the Lord. Some of these men that I've shared about were given direct orders by God to do what they did. Like Moses said, go before Pharaoh and throw down your staff. But there wasn't anywhere I read where God said to David, go out and kill that giant. He had to believe the Lord. He had to believe that the Lord put that inner witness in him to go out. If you go out and fight him, you're going to win. You're going to beat him. So he went out in the name of the Lord of hosts to conquer. And then some of these stepped out in faith because their spirit was in some way stirred by God to do what he did. You like that when your spirit gets stirred? Does your spirit ever get stirred for God? Does it really ask yourself, do I ever get stirred for God about anything? I do believe that if God didn't give them the actual command, that he did put the thought in her mind on what to do. This is what I believe the Lord is calling this here church to do, to be stirred in the spirit, to be challenged, to go forth, to have vision, see the promises that lay before us, and together lock our arms together and go forward and accomplish what God would have us to do as the body of Christ. Amos 3:7 says, "Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealed his secret unto his servants, the prophets." I guess if we were to take this literally, which I do, God never did anything. In that whole book, the Old Testament, all of the things that God did in there, you could say any big things that he's done. You know, I mean, it isn't like he called a prophet to let someone know they're going to eat supper at such and such a time. But the things that he did in the Bible, he always had a prophet. He always had someone to speak, to warn, or even to encourage. And so he never did anything, he says, without revealing the secret to his prophets. And the word prophet here in the Hebrew means prophet, or it means an inspired man, which could also mean an inspired woman, inspired sister of the Lord. God has used prophets and seers all through the Old and New Testaments to warn and prepare people for calamity that is to come. And we even have that today. We have a warning about the last days. We're seeing a lot of it start to unfold, how society is going to be. But he also spoke good things and made promises to people. He made promises to us. God spoke to his servants what he is going to do with them and through them. I'm asking God to do that, to speak to us what he's going to do with us, what he's going to do through us. I'm more encouraged than ever. We're going to make a difference in this community. We're going to make a difference in this world, this little blip of time that God has chosen to put us here. We're going to make the most of it. Amen? I believe God's revelation is going to go beyond what he speaks to us as individuals in the prayer closet, and that we are now entering a season where he is beginning to speak to his church corporately. What I mean by that, he's going to be speaking the same thing to you as he is to me, to this church as he is to that church, to this minister and that minister. I've never heard so many ministers in my life all saying the same thing that I'm hearing now. Many Christians, just from other churches, of course we say the same thing here, but even Christians from other churches, they're saying the same thing that comes from the mind of God. Because our Bible is full of things to say, but when he has us all saying the same thing out of the Bible, you know that the Spirit is singling out something. You know the Spirit is directing us and moving us in a certain way. The word remnant, 20 years ago, you hardly ever heard the word remnant. Now we have someone, don't you have that on your license plate, Bob? I noticed that on his car the first time he came to church. It said remnant on his license plate. I remember I had one pastor that said that's unbiblical, the word remnant, to use it. And now everywhere you go, I read articles, and there's always somebody talking about that remnant that God is going to raise up and use. So God has plans for his church. He needs saints who will pray together to have those plans revealed to them and how he wants to use his church. When Christians get all distracted by the world, when they get enticed by sin, they start going into sin, they start losing their spiritual sense. You lose your keen awareness of the things of the Spirit. You start losing your interest in the things of God. And if you lose your interest in the things of God, a sermon like this has no interest at all, because they don't even want the simple things of God, much less chase after God with everything they got in their heart. They don't ask God to reveal his plans when they're making their own plans. But here's what we can do. If we can quiet our spirit before God and seek him diligently, he will reveal his will. He will reveal his plan. He will reveal his promises. He will reveal vision. Amen. He will bring to fruition the things we've sowed in the past. Amen. That's what's so great about the sowing in the past. You get to reap today. Amen. Praise God. And Kenny, I think of you when I think of Galatians 6:9. Do not grow weary in well-doing, for we shall reap if we do not grow weary, or do not lose heart, depending on what version you read. Amen. Just hang in there. And from there, we must go on to believe God for what he has revealed to us. So when we do seek him, and we do get vision from God, and we do get desires from God, then it's in our lap now to go forward with what he's burned in our hearts. You know, Herod, he offered one day, he offered half of his kingdom, which wasn't real much, but he offered it to Herodias's daughter. She could ask him anything she wanted, up to half of his kingdom. And I'm figuring if he can do that, how much more will God give us when he says, ask me? And I'm certain we're not going to just ask for a head on a platter. I'm going to ask for something a lot better than that. Amen. James says, you have not because you ask not. And I know that's kind of stated in context with material things, but isn't the principle spiritual as well? We don't have things of the kingdom of God because we're afraid to ask God. Or let the devil tell us, you're not worthy of it. Well, I know I'm not worthy of it, but he is. Amen. Praise God. And he's given me the authority. Hallelujah. Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. So again, I'm challenging the church to ask God to reveal his will and then to accomplish it through us. But I must qualify it with these two things. First of all, we have to have a sensitivity to the Spirit of God. You have to know it's not what you want. It's not what you are asking. There's got to be that assurance that I'm hearing from the Spirit of God, and then trust him to bring the answer. Then ask him. Then believe him. And go forward with what he has put in your heart. But you got to make sure you're sensitive to the Spirit of God. If you're off living your own life, doing your own thing, you will not be sensitive to the Spirit of God. But if you're living that life of devotion to him, and you're walking in the Spirit, you can trust that these things that are coming to you are from the Spirit of God. And then another thing we need to remember is you should never ask out of season. Did you know, I don't know if you caught that in our opening scripture in Zechariah. It says, ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain. Don't ask for it when there's no latter rain. Ask for it in the appropriate time. John wrote, but this spoke he of the Spirit which they that believed on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not given because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Here we see God has times and seasons for things. He wasn't talking about the Spirit that they were getting that day, but the Spirit they would be getting not too far in advance. When Jesus told the disciples to wait to receive power from on high, it would not have been the right time to ask the Lord to give them the nations. When they're in the upper room, what are they doing? They're waiting for the promise on high so they can go out to the nations. That would not have been the right season to ask God, give us the nations today, but to seek the Lord. So the Lord has seasons for things in our life. Luke 11:13 says, If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? You know, it is still the season, amen, to ask God, and he will give you the Spirit. That season has not left since it's been poured out on the day of Pentecost. Sometimes you like to push things off, well, it ain't in the season. Well, it is the season for the Holy Spirit to be in your life. Amen. One thing that God has burned in my heart, has really been strong over the last couple years, is that the church right here in this generation that you and I live is going to come to a place, I just absolutely believe this, that she is going to give glory to God once again. For the most part, when you see the church, you just see a product of man's influence over that which is supposed to be of God. You see all the thousands and maybe millions of complaints that have been leveled against the church isn't because it had too much of God in it. It's because it had too much of man in it. Looked too much like man and not like God. If God was in it, a lot of people would be afraid to say anything. Remember when Ananias and Sapphira fell dead? It says fear came on the church and it came on a community. I'm sure those people were a little, like, not too quick to say anything against the church in that day. But today all they see is it's man, it's run by man, and they have no problem belittling it. But if God comes to it again, like I believe it's going to happen, it's going to give glory to God. And then it won't reflect men, it'll reflect God. You know, the church today doesn't bring forth a thus saith the Lord, but thus saith a man. But we're going to hear it again, say, thus saith the Lord to the church. Ephesians 3:21, it says, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. So, of course, he is the means to the glory in the church. Unto him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. It is the season right now, for sure, for the Lord to get glory in his church again. A converted Jew by the name of Art Katz said in his book that I'm reading, true fellowship, church as a community, had this to say about Ephesians 3:21. Here's what he said. Paul lets that statement stand without any explanation as how that glory is going to be obtained, but leaves it for us to search out the meaning and make the application. I love that. I'm always challenged like that when something's laid there for us to search out. I'm up to the challenge. I'm ready for it. I've been praying earnestly and believing God that, again, his church is going to receive the glory that is due to the Lord. We are coming into a season of a corporate sensitivity to the Holy Spirit of God. And what I mean by that, individuals in here can be very sensitive to the Holy Spirit, but there's coming a time when we're all going to start growing keenly aware as we walk in the Spirit and we draw closer to God. We get the mind of Christ. We're going to start corporately receiving the same things from God. And it ain't like, well, Pastor, we're taking your word for it. But, Pastor, that confirms, that bears witness of what the same thing the Lord is speaking to me. And together, how much easier is it for us to go together and accomplish the things of God when we're all in it together and we've all heard from God. If you open up your heart and you walk in the Spirit, get filled with the Spirit, be full of God, be ready to receive things from the Lord, from the Spirit of God. We're coming into that season of corporate sensitivity to the Spirit because I believe we're into this day of the latter rain. And the latter rain for us means there's the Holy Spirit is again falling on his church. He rained on the church back in started on Pentecost. And now we're expecting the latter rain. It's another season of rain, just like the first. Often they say it's better. The latter rain's even better. So if you press into the Lord, if you seek him, if you ask him, he will reveal to each one of us what he is about to do in this closing hour. Praise God. So first you must believe that he wants to talk to you and reveal his secrets to you. You have to believe that. Amen? You have to believe that you can have a little special relationship with the Lord.
And that's often what your prayer time needs to become, if it isn't. Spending time with the Lord. When you read the word, just don't read it like to memorize it, but read it to let the Lord speak to you individually what the word's saying. There's something in there that'll speak to you. You need to ask him to reveal what he wants to do through you and what he wants to do through us as a body. We are the body of Christ. The body of Christ. One body moves together, does it not? Amen. Imagine if you had to walk with the body like much of the Christians have given, have applied to the body of Christ today. The arm would want to be going this way, and this leg would want to be going that way. You know, the head would want to be twisted, and you'd talk about being disabled or whatever. But that body needs to cooperate and walk together and have the one mind of Christ. Amen? It's the body of Christ. Maybe for a whole year we should never use the word church again. And just say the body of Christ. Then maybe we would get it. Maybe we'd really, really get it. Too often when we think of church, we think of the organized group of people that meet in a building with a steeple on top. So you've got to believe God wants to talk to you and reveal his secrets. Then you have to ask him to reveal what he wants to through you. Then do not be afraid to hear what he has to say. It is true that there's Christians that get uncomfortable to get alone with God. For some reason, maybe they're not living right, so they don't want God pointing out their sin. Maybe they've gotten some kind of fear over, if I hear from God, he's going to send me to Africa. You know, so I'd rather not hear. If I don't hear anything, then I don't have to, then I'm not disobeying God. And I think sometimes God doesn't tell us stuff until we're ready to obey too. Amen? Amen? Praise God. But don't be afraid to hear what he says. I can be, even though I'm just like you, and I get those moments, from experience I know it always turns out better than you think. It always ends up being what you really desire after all. It just seems to always work out like that. Be ready to obey. You gotta be ready to obey God when you hear what he has to say. And again, if you're not ready to obey, then you don't want to hear what he has to say. Then we have to believe together. Amen. Again, this isn't about me. And this isn't about you. This is about us. If we're really going to be the body of Christ, it's got to be about God using us together. That it's beautiful to God to see everything functioning and flowing right. One mind, one faith, one spirit. Going forward, accomplishing. Not this arm deciding he wants to do this, and this arm deciding he wants to work on this project. Then the last thing I want to say is let's be committed together and pray to see the Lord's will fulfilled through his church. I know that's been one of the main things we always pray on Tuesday night, but I want us to continue to pray that way. I want to encourage you to come. Make a commitment to come and pray with us on Tuesday as the body of Christ, to pray together, to dare believe that God could have us pray in unity and pray in the Spirit, and God could speak to us. And if we do all of this, I am convinced God will once again receive the glory through his church or through his body of Christ. Amen? So you up to the challenge, church? Do you believe God? Do you believe he's got special things for you? Of course, it's never anything contrary to the word of God. Because why? Because I'm on that stepladder reaching up for the box of promises. I'm on a stepladder reaching up for the deeper walk with God, the higher place with God, and the revelation of God. Amen. Well, I'm just going to close in prayer. Lord, I just pray, God, that to just burn this in our heart, Lord. God, not to just live a status quo Christianity, going through the motion, going to church, make sure I get my daily devotions done, Lord. But let there be an intense desire rising up in every one of us to know this great God that we serve. Hallelujah. To know you, Lord, like we never have before. Lord, to be willing to hear what you want to speak to us, Lord. That we're willing to go where you want to lead us, Lord. God, where we have failed, Lord, to operate and work together corporately, Lord, I just pray you teach us how to do that. Lord, I guess part of me is thankful, Lord, that we haven't come under a severe structure, Lord, so it's easy to let go and just let you lead us the way that you've intended from the beginning, Lord, to lead your church as one body, God. Just help us, Lord, just come into the sensitivity of your spirit like we've never known, Lord. God, that we just are, when you speak to us, we just know it and we're convinced, Lord, and we believe you and we just go forward, trusting you with the results, trusting you to do what you want to do. God, so as we finish off this year, Lord, and there's a new year before us, Lord, I just pray that we're just have that assurance, Lord, that this year you're going to do great and mighty things through us, Lord, to such a point, Lord, that we won't get the pat on the back, but you will get the glory, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to learn how to let you be God, that you get the glory, Lord. Help us, God, to be faithful in what you called us to do. Just as David said, I will do this and I will do that to the giant. The only reason he said that is because he knew the Lord of hosts was with him, Lord. And that we cannot do these things you called us to do unless you are with us, Lord. We need you, Lord, like never before. We need your spirit moving powerfully in this fellowship, Lord. I pray you fill us today afresh and anew with your spirit, Lord. I pray that our minds and our hearts are open to everything you'd have for us, that you want to speak to us, Lord. I pray, God, that we believe you for the promises, Lord, that we believe you for the revelation and vision you want to give us, Lord. I pray, God, that we stay faithful, to keep on keeping on, Lord, to believe, Lord, that we will reap yet, Lord, even though we may have grown weary at times, we will still reap, Lord, if we do not give up and just keep on trusting you, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, I just pray for your church all over this state, Lord, and all over this nation. Lord, I just pray this prayer for glory to come to your church isn't just for here, Lord, but this is for all over our nation. Lord, God, bring the church to that place. Bring the body of Christ to that place, God, that you've ordained it to be at, Lord, God. So with that, Lord, we commit this coming year to you. Hallelujah. Give you glory, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.